Life Conversations Radio. Be the change you want to see.
Hi, I'm Mark Victor Hansen. I want you to be listening to Life Conversations. My friends are running it, and they do the best hosting in the planet. Enjoy the show.
Life Conversations, the radio show, is dedicated to empowering its listeners spiritually, emotionally, socially, and financially. The radio show provides the platform for the stimulation of thoughts, conversations, and ways of being that allow listeners to explore and examine what it is they believe and decide whether what they believe is keeping them stuck and disempowered or empowering them to live their best life.
Hey, this is Jenny Cressman. I worked in the field of woman abuse for almost 20 years, and I want to give you something to think about. I don't generally like labels, but lately, I've begun to feel that one little label is really important to embrace. Feminism. There, I've said it. The new F word. For too many people, that's a dirty word. But really, feminism is about equality. Feminists seek greater social, political, and economic equality of the sexes. It's about raising women up to the same level as men. So, I'm an F word. How about you?
Hi, I'm Mark Husson. When I created 1-2-listen.com, I envisioned a service that could offer immediate relief from the dilemmas of daily life. On demand. I knew that many of you have been hurt by similar services on the internet because I've been in this industry for over 25 years, and I know that when you're hurt, the promise of a fix sounds irresistible, regardless of who's offering. The advisors at 1-2-listen.com are extraordinary, not because they've endured weeks of observation and testing, but because they promise to make their work here their number one priority. That means you will be speaking to someone who's here for you. We're not a perfect service, but we believe becoming a perfect service starts with having the courage to strive for perfection. I am Mark Husson, and 1-2-listen.com and the 1-2 family are my purpose. Give us a try. And if you've tried us before, try again, because I'm convinced that life is better when you don't feel alone. Thank you.
Hi, this is Jack Armstrong, author of Lessons from the Source, a spiritual guidebook for navigating life's journey. You're listening to Life Conversations Radio.
Time on the planet was ending today. If you had one thing to tell your lovers, tell me what would you say? Would you laugh, would you cry when you watched the review of your life? Did you lay it all out on the table or hold it in? Did you doubt every T? Did you cross every I? Did you live every day of your life? Would you think you were ever? Would you think you arrived? When you thought about the way that you felt when love touched your heart for the first time, would you want to do more? With a little more stuff, but would another 5 minutes to tell her your love be more than enough? More than enough. Hey, more than enough. That goodbye was a heartbeat away. Would you still never speak to a lover for making mistakes? Would you hate anybody who didn't agree? Or would you love everyone that you see? Would you think you were well? Would you think you? when your thoughts out the way that you felt when love touched your heart for the first time. Would you want with a little more time? Or would another 5 minutes of holding me closer be more than enough? More than enough. Hey, more than enough. Oh. When you're in the day, life is full of circumstance. Very little happenstance till you look behind and find in each and every line love was on time. Hey, hey, hey. So many people sleepwalk through the day after day. Woke up mid-stride thinking, how did this happen to me? I opened my heart and wiped the sleep from my eyes. Started laughing so hard that I cried, 'cause I found I was wealthy and I found I'd arrived. When I thought about the way that I felt when love touched my heart for the first time, I didn't need a do-over with a little more stuff. 'Cause I found that each time I could tell them I loved them was more than enough.
We are truly more than enough. That is Troy Horn reminding us the importance of embracing the moment, embracing now. How do you feel? Where do you feel? What do you feel? when do you feel? Yes, do you feel, know, experience the enoughness that you are? And if not, it's okay. At least you listen to the show, which tells me something in you is calling you higher. Something in you is calling you forward. Listen to the ancestral blueprints so you may move from giving away to claiming your authority. Yes, Troy Horn, that's more than enough. To find out more about Troy, his website address is troyhorn.com, TROYHORNE.com. Good afternoon, good evening, good night, good morning, good day to you, wherever you may be at this very moment in time. Thank you, thank you, thank you for tuning in to Life Conversations Radio, where change begins and you truly make a difference. Simply because you exist, simply because you listen. Because I know and I guarantee you, just because you're listening, you're going to be different. And when you're different, you make a difference. You can't help it. Because this show is designed to activate your soul, to help you download a new software and upgrade the outdated operating system, that you can just process life perfectly.
without any virus, no spyware, no malware. Just simply perfect, because you are. Yes, indeed. You are listening to Ancestral Blueprints with your hosts, Lisa Iverson, and yours truly, Lifeco Jade. Today's topic, today's theme, today's conversation is de-guru your soul. Given away to claiming authority. We want to help you step in the name of love into your own authorship so you can design your life and write your life the way you want, not based on another director or another writer, because you might get to the end of the story and saying, I don't like this story. I need to print another book, but it takes too long. It's all going to make sense in a minute. Welcome all of you listening on the phone lines, online, and in the archive. Thank you, thank you, thank you. Thank you for sharing the show. Thank you for just being who you are. We are truly grateful for you. And let me bring on Celeste for some quick announcements so we can keep the party moving. What's up, Celeste?
Hey, Life Coach D. I'm doing wonderful. How are you?
I'm good. I'm chilled. I'm relaxed. Yeah. I'm getting ready for Lisa because I know she's going to bring it. You know how Lisa just downloads the simplest truth. You know, it's like you hear it like, whoa, wait a minute. What'd she just say? Wow. That's profound.
Yeah, keep a notebook and pen handy when Lisa is speaking because she comes from another world. Because she's open to receive sweet messages, you know?
She comes from another world? Are you trying to say Lisa's
yes,
an alien?
I think that Lisa is a channeler of deep information from ancestors.
Oh, okay, I got it.
Any other place you want to call it.
I'm saying what I say, you say whatever you want to say. Don't put words in my mouth. Okay, I got it.
But she's definitely available, and I think that's why the knowledge is so deep. You know?
Yes, she is. Yes, I do, and I know exactly what you mean. Yes, you're right. You're
all
right. Let's do
ready
this.
For your wonderful. All right. Hello, family. Welcome to Ancestral Blueprints with Lisa Iverson and Life Coach Today. My name is Celeste Morgan, and I'll be keeping you informed of all the happenings going on at LifeConversationsRadio.com. Ancestral Blueprints airs on the last Wednesday of the month from 12 until 1:30 p.m. Eastern. If you happen to miss this show live, all the shows are archived. You can even subscribe on iTunes by entering Life Conversations. Call in with your questions, thoughts, and anything you're dealing with so Lisa Iverson and Life Coach Today can support you. The call-in number is 347-426-3346 and make sure to press 1 on your keypad. Now, if you can't call in, you can post your questions for Ancestral Blueprints on the Ask Life Coach Today fan like page on Facebook. Please be sure to create a new posting. We want to make sure we get to you. Now, if you don't do or can't get on Facebook, go to lifeconversationsmedia.com. Hover on the Life Conversations radio menu. Then you will see a drop-down menu, and Life Coach Today will receive an email when you click on the Ask Life Coach Today button. You just fill that in. We also have exciting shows on the Life Conversations Radio Network. Be sure to join Life Coach Today for the Ask Life Coach Today radio show, Monday through Wednesday, 12 until 2 p.m. Eastern. You can get some soul food for your consciousness when you tune in. You can also find Life Coach Today on Within Radio. His show is syndicated every Friday at 8 p.m. Eastern. For more info, go to inspirebroadcasting.com. We decided to give Life Coach Today a break, so he's going to be taking vacation next week. But you know what? You don't have to worry. You can feel free to catch up on old shows in the archive. You're also invited to join Facebook. Somebody's happy to be going on vacay. You're also invited to join Mbasa Safira for the play experience. Have you played with yourself today? Do you passionately love and appreciate you? If not, take a trip on a playground every Thursday at 7 p.m. Eastern. Also, you can join me for the Celestial Show with Celeste Morgan every Sunday at 8 p.m. Eastern, where we connect with introspective tools like tarot, medicine cards, and black angel cards to get you more clarity about your life's journey. Feel free to go to lifeconversationsmedia.com for more information. You will find a calendar and a listing of all the shows. You also have an opportunity to contribute to the Ask Life Coach A Day radio show. Go to lifeconversationsmedia.com, then hover, don't click, on the Life Conversations menu, then click the Ask Life Coach A Day drop-down menu, and you will see a donate button on the right-hand side. We thank you in advance, family, for being such a blessing. Finally, since we are not doing a celestial moment today, let me take this opportunity to remind you to be gentle with yourself and slow down, as this is the beginning of the Mercury retrograde. 11 is also running today, and it is the master number. So you're in the right spot to de-guru your soul, because the number 11 will give you the strength to master your life. Now, that wraps up your announcements. Let's welcome back Lisa Iverson and Life Coach A Day.
Thank you. Thank you, Celeste. I appreciate you. Yes, we are getting ready to de-guru and declutter as well. That's my
mm-hmm.
word.
Nice.
And reclaim as we give away. Thank you.
Love it.
Appreciate you. Thank you
my
for
pleasure.
The vacation next week. I'm grateful for all the CEOs and all of you in the boardroom for allowing me to take a week off, you know. I need it.
Yeah. Yes, you do. Enjoy it.
All right, bye. Yes, indeed. You are listening to the Ancestral Blueprint with Lisa Iverson and Life Coach A Day and my friend Lisa, who has a wonderful way of connecting with all worlds and downloading the simple truth is in the house. Hello, Lisa. How are you doing?
Hello. I'm doing very well. I was feeling like I was eavesdropping on the two of you there when you were talking about it. I was having a hard time not giggling, so I'm happy we are all in the same world now in this conversation. thank you to both of you so much.
You're very welcome. We didn't mean to talk behind your Facebook. Oh boy! Yes, we did. We knew you were there. But it is everything we said. We stand by it and we approve those messages. You have being grounded messages. How is my friend doing today? The new day of Mercury. We're officially in summer. We've had the super moon. Lots going on. How are you doing?
Yeah, I'm doing very well. I am grateful for good health. You know, it's such a simple thing that is easy to take for granted and, you know, not to be taken for granted, really. So, and I'm happy, very happy about our time together today and happy for the reminder about Mercury retrograde. I lost track of looking that up on the calendar, but I was in a meeting last night that it was clear to me by the
communication
blowing the room that it was getting going, so I'm happy for the verification. So
you were like, oh, now I understand.
Right.
I get
it's
it.
A good thing to have in perspective, yes.
Yes, indeed. Yes, indeed. It does help. You know, I've moved from worrying about it and just take that opportunity to just slow down and be patient. Because sometimes, I mean, for the most part, I'm patient. But there's some things, I mean, even just while Celeste was doing the show, my computer was acting crazy. I was like, okay, it's all right. But with that awareness, we get to pace ourselves and stop stressing ourselves for simple things in life. You know, I love that you said being grateful for good health. And every now and then I find myself thinking about that, you know, just the ability to get up and walk. the ability to open the refrigerator, to pick up what I want, to breathe, to look with my own eyes, to sit down, to stand up, whatever I choose to do. It's easy to be taken for granted because it's like it happens without my control. I think it, right, and my body responds. And there are some people who need machine to breathe, and in different places. I got an email today, and somebody's dealing with major health challenge. And it's like, you know, sometimes we just got to bring ourselves, just got to slow it down a little and say, you know what? I'm grateful for good health. I can hear, I can see, I can breathe. The simple things that make a big difference, huh?
Yeah, completely. And no matter what a person's health is, because for some listeners, their health might be challenged in some way.
Indeed.
No, just it, then it's for all of us. For all of us, it's the reminder to be grateful for life. Just really,
mm-hmm.
it's a thing that we get to have another day on the planet to be with ourselves and one another and to learn and to teach. And so, I'm grateful for life and grateful to be living it with all the people who are in my world, like yourself.
Yes, indeed. So wherever we are, whatever is going on, find something to be grateful for. Not because you're required to, because it brings you to a better feeling place.
Yeah.
There's always something to be grateful for. So today's theme, today's topic is de-guru your soul from giving away to claiming authority. Here's a short description of what we're talking about, and we're going to expand on it. We're going to unpack it. Going to help you see and digest it, really, should I say. Are you someone who likes to put others on a pedestal? I'm going to let that sit for a minute before I go to the next line. Just think about it. Are you someone who likes others to see you on one of the pedestals, to see you like, oh yeah, I'm the greatest, I'm the best? Living life consciously, responsibly, with one's own power, is fueled by knowing where she or he belongs in his or her ancestral blueprints. When you know where you belong in your ancestral blueprints, you get to be fueled by your own power. You get to live life. You get to be fully aware. But now we're going to unpack that, and I'm going to throw it to my dear friend to do what she does best. And not a question, just anything that you're feeling, Lisa, anything that's bubbling up for you that was triggered, and we'll dance together.
Yeah, thank you so much. The place to start is about belonging.
Mm.
You know, how deeply each of us needs to know that we belong.
Mm.
And so our first group we belong to is our family. And what happens in that part of our life really informs how energy flows with this topic that we're with today about. I use guru as shorthand. You know, we all kind of know a little bit about what that means for somebody to be in a guru position.
Mm-hmm.
So belonging, before we talk too about belonging in our families, it's good we acknowledge the other kind of belonging, which has to do with what kind of attachment experience we have as a baby with our moms or whoever the person is who takes care of us when we come into the world, when we're an infant. So there's two kind of belongings that from the beginning when we come into the world really deeply influence us throughout our life. So the belonging in both of those areas deeply influence if we are attracted to gurus or if we like to see ourselves as one. So in our family, the experience of belonging, how it goes for us as a son or as a daughter, first of all, with our parents, what kind of relationship there is, what kind of clarity of order there is as a daughter or a son with their parents. What kind of, sometimes there's a kind of an elevated position that we might have as a son or a daughter where because of the circumstances of family life, because of birth order, because of many things that have happened in the larger blueprint of our ancestries, we might have this feeling as a son or daughter from childhood that, well, I know better than my parents. You know, they don't know much about how to be a parent. Look at, you know, the choices that they've made or the fate that was dealt to them. I really am much more of a parent to them than they are to me. This is one thing that can then, if we have that kind of childhood, that kind of position with our parents, that can put us in a position in our adult life to be inclined to be in a guru kind of a position where we like others to see us as having all the answers. So what that does, though, underneath, there can be certainly an ego gratification from that.
Right.
Our personalities, you know, can really feed off of that kind of power, because really what happens in that kind of a dance is other people, if we're in that kind of a pumped up, inflated position in our life, then others are inclined to give power away to us, whether they know it or not. You know, so another piece of this has to do with our humanness around with belonging, how much we are more like sheep than we would like to admit. You know, it's a real blow.
Yeah.
So to the
east, like, calm down.
It is just really, you know, we don't want to see that about ourselves, particularly in American culture where we focus so much on the individual. And we focus so much on how powerful the individual is that we don't really like to acknowledge how much we are like sheep. And, you know, the impulse to follow, the impulse to be in a trance, in a group, the minute you get a group of people together for any endeavor, whatever the purpose of the group is, there is going to be quite a number of people in the group who are going to be happy to give their power away and to go into a trance, you know, about the group experience and follow the leader, you know. There's a reason that popular children's game keeps going, you know. I could keep going, but I could keep going on this thread, but I just want to check in with you just as I'm going along here. Anything you want to say or ask? What you're thinking about
talking. I think there's so much that I'm thinking about. I think of, you talk about, we are more like sheep more than we want to meet. And I think of social media and people saying, people are sheeples. I'm not like that. I just don't follow anybody just for the sake of following them. But as you said, that's true. We all have our own way, our own unique way of following the leader. And sometimes it's a thin line between giving our power away and claiming our own power. And as you were talking, I was thinking, it's like, this is conversations that I've had. Well, I've thought about this many times. I talk to myself. There's conversations that I have with myself, not even the monologue. I talk to myself. This is me, and there's another one saying, what do you think about this? Well, I think this. So, and as I listen to you now, it seems like part of me say, well, you know, let me go here. One of the things that I like to say in jest, but I mean it, is I say, don't put me on a pedestal because I'm afraid of heights, or unless you're going to be up there with me. And for me, is I recognize there was a time on my path, when I was going through my process, when I was teaching classes and people would look up to me and how they loved the class, how something I said changed their life. There was a time where there was a void of not feeling like I was enough, and that was feeding me. It's like, oh, I'm a great teacher. I'm inspiring people. But as I've gone through my own process, it's just something, my soul or God, something's reminding me, be careful. Be careful, because it's such a dangerous place to be. And we see it in media. You know, we pump somebody up, and it's like the media pumps you up, the best thing that ever happens, and the next minute you blow your nose in public. Oh, my God. They're like, guess what? Look who's blowing their nose in public. And it's like there's this mechanism inside of us to put someone on the pedestal and then find a way to knock them back down. And when you talk about the belonging, finding our where we belong with our family and the attachment experience we have with our parents, I can see now why, you know, it's almost what I saw when you were talking was this, I don't want to use the word confusion, but this dynamic, there it is, thank you. This dynamic is it's almost natural. And it that's what it seems like to me. It seems like it's natural where we give our power away, reclaim our power, or some people have the power and they think, oh, yes, you know, because power is intoxicating. It is attractive, but it takes a certain kind of awareness, as we said in the description, you know, it's like really knowing where you belong in your ancestral blueprint so you can live life consciously. And I just wonder. One of the things I love about this show is it has, for me, I feel like Ancestral Blueprints slows down life as we know it. For me, it's like, because I'm hearing what we're talking about here, and it's like, well, is there anything to be fixed? You know, there are people out there as we speak right now who look at people as their guru. Like, oh, my God, I got to go there. They got a new book out. They got to do this. I got to listen. Oh, you know, and they give their power away. And then in that process, there are people who have said, oh, I've been there before. I got to claim my own power. And then there are those who are going out and just going extremely. You don't need anybody. I gave all my money. I gave everything I had to my guru, and that was abused. So it's like that's what's coming up for me right now. And you just helped me see that there's more to this. It's more complicated. I have to say that word. More complicated than I've always thought it was, because it's something that happens on a deep level, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think that's really true. I think it's really true. You know, as we're talking, I mean, each topic for each show that we do, the conversation could be a whole series. So I'm aware that I feel that with this topic, it could be a whole series of conversations because of all that goes into it, you know. Having teachers is such a blessing, you know. To have a good teacher in one's life, what a blessing. We all need teachers. The flip side of that is, from my perspective, each of us is a teacher. So for me, I'm quite interested in developing and reclaiming a consciousness that recognizes this. That recognizes that we are all teachers and we are all students with one another, wherever we go, whether it's in a formal group that we're a part of, whether if it's in a classroom setting or a learning setting of some kind, whether it's in our workplace, in our faith communities, in our families, we are all students and we are all teachers of one another. When that kind of a climate is really operating, it prevents this pedestal experience. It won't allow it. Mm. Now, that's another... Go ahead, because you're thinking something.
Yes, I am. Yes, I am.
I don't want to miss out on what's going on anyway. What popped up for you?
I get it, and I live it. I've embodied it, that we are students and teachers at the same time. We are. And I know there was a time when I heard it. I'm like, yeah. But there was a time I didn't really so, I didn't see myself as a teacher. And there are people who are listening and say, I don't know, because I can't do what Lisa's doing. I can't do what Ade's doing. I can't, you know, you guys are out there inspiring community, and all I'm doing is being a mother, and I'm just trying to make my life work, or I got this business that's not successful. No, I'm a student. And so for me, it's like, how do we start to swing the door open, the door of teacherhood, if you will, that
yeah.
we, humanity, yeah. individually, as children, as adults, young adults, we start to see ourselves that we are a student and a teacher
yeah.
at the same time. Because the society yeah. is designed like there's a student and there's a teacher. There's a,
mm-hmm.
there's the little ones and there's the older ones. So that's, it's like there's something in between there. I don't know. That's what comes up for me, because we,
yeah.
we, it's easy sometimes to put ourselves as lower than say
right.
equal to. Yeah.
That's right. That's right. That's where exactly, that's exactly right. That's where the irreplaceable strength that comes from knowing where we belong in the families we come from.
Mm.
Promotes that kind of clarity and promotes that kind of consciousness. So the same family that, you know, if our perception has been, or if our experience has been, well, my family, you know, that's the source of all my wounding. That's the source of where all my dysfunction or my problems or my issues come from. I don't want to have anything to do with my family. Or
mm-hmm.
maybe there's some parts of my family I'll have something to do with them, but then other parts of my family I reject and I don't want anything to do with them. I judge them. They did it wrong. They did it the wrong. They did it. They did something, you know, in a way that
mm-hmm.
caused harm. So I don't want anything to do with them. What I see over and over and over again in through the systemic constellation work, the family constellation work, that method, for me, what that shows is in this map, in our ancestral blueprints, all of the places in our family life, all the parts of our ancestry, particularly the ones we want to avoid or reject, that reclaiming those places without judgment is what gives us the kind of irreplaceable strength and blessing to be in our own places of belonging that allows us to see clearly, pick clearly how we see the people in our lives today, whatever position they're in, you know, as teacher, student, my role with them, gives us the clear sense of power. You know, a lot of times if a person's drawn to a guru, they're looking to ride off of their power. They're thinking, oh,
mm-hmm.
if I have a guru in my life, then that's what's going to give me my power.
Mm.
And it fits like a glove, you know. The person
yep.
who's in the guru, you know, it's a hand and a glove. The person who's in the guru position leads the student
mm-hmm.
to think, yeah, that's, you're going to get your power from me. Most of the time it's
mm-hmm.
unspoken. It's in very subtle message.
Yes.
Sometimes there's a grooming kind of quality to it. Grooming happens with adults all the time.
Mm-hmm.
Where there's a subtle manipulation that happens,
mm-hmm.
where there's a message given that, yeah, you get a little bit close to me, you're going to have a particular kind of a power, just like I have. Wouldn't you like that? And especially if you give me some money, I'll maybe give you even a little bit more of that power. Wouldn't you like that?
Mm-hmm. You have private sessions with me, one-on-one. You know, unique services. You can call me anytime. It's like, it's for...
so many ways that this flows. So, you know, it's underneath that, there's a lot of blind love operating from every person in that system. From the person in the guru system, it's blind love. And the person who is putting that person on the pedestal, it's blind love. It's a loyalty to a family system that says, I'm going to be loyal to some image about some people are bigger than others, but where we don't see really clearly, deeply, with a humility that promotes us being in life, how life got through to us, you know, that with all that happened in family life, without exactly who our parents were, those two people, whoever they were, those were the two people to be the ones to pass life on to us. However they parented, however they showed up, whatever happened in day-to-day living, you know, there may have been blessings in that experience, there may have been harm in that experience. But in this very simple, simple DNA kind of way, without our parents being those two people, without their parents, our grandparents, being who those four people, and then we keep going back and back, generations before them, you know, you get the picture, how it unfolds. I wouldn't be alive. So it's like it's simple. It's not always easy, but it's very simple.
Yes. Yes.
Yeah.
You know, I want to go back to what you said earlier, knowing where we belong, because I didn't want to interrupt your flow. I know when you're downloading, it just calms, and I've taken notes here. As Celeste was saying, I have my pen and paper here. Oh, pen and notes. When you say knowing where we belong, what do you mean by that? I mean, because I can say, someone can say, well, you know, in my case, I have my parents, I have a brother and two sisters, and I'm number three. I know where I belong. And but I know that's what you're saying is more than that, right?
Yeah. So knowing where I belong means being, having an inner picture in my soul and my family that says, for example, as a daughter or a son, that when I look at my parents, that I'm able to, in my soul, simply say, thank you for passing life on. I don't make your lives my business. And now I do the rest myself. Mm-hmm. There's some very simple kinds of things like that. Those kinds of statements from the soul, those kind of reflections from the soul, that often we're not really in that place of alignment with them. Again, out of a blind love. I use that phrase, blind love, influenced by Bert Hellinger, who developed the constellation approach, that we are often, you know, living our lives with this kind of a blind love. So for me, the moving toward an awake love means also being able to look at our parents from our inner soul place and say to them, I leave your experience as a son or daughter with you. Many times daughters or sons are trying to make their parents' experiences as a son or a daughter different than what it was. Many times an adult son, an adult daughter, we're trying to navigate.
Could you break that down?
Yeah, you bet. We're many times an adult daughter, an adult son, I would be inclined to try to be working very hard to change the history that's already happened. I could be knocking myself out. Really, it's very, we don't realize how disorienting these things are and how disoriented we are, that we can be spending our life energy trying to make our parents' childhoods different. And so, you know, this inner soul space of belonging, when I'm working hard in that way, I'm not in my place of belonging. You know, to move into that place means being able to then look at my grandparents and say, you're the best parents for my father, you're the best parents for my mother. Mm-hmm. And that's just a statement of fact. Without them, you know, this is not a judgment. We really want to get into judgments about, well, who is a good parent or who is a bad parent. This is not about that when I'm speaking. This is about who passed life on. And it's about really calling forth the larger landscape of ancestral support and blessing that is absolutely there. That in the American energy field, particularly this time that we are living in, I see is all about remembering that. The American history, the American landscape has been for hundreds of years influenced by disconnection from family.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
You know,
yep.
That's part of it's how American history, it's how the country was founded. And so, you know, America.
Whoa, slow down. Ooh, wee. Taking okay. Away from, okay. We're going to do our own thing. Because you're not doing it right. And we're going to set our own rules.
That's right. Breaking away from family by choice. So for some generations back, it was through immigration by choice, you know, going toward opportunity. For some, it was fleeing tragedy. It was fleeing famine. It was fleeing hardship or war. For others, it was being ripped away from their families, from the African landscape, it was about being ripped away from their families. For the Native American community on this continent, it was about, you know, the European trying to destroy the family unit. And that's where, you know, we can see that with all of that history, with as much devastation as has happened, as much genocide has happened with Native communities, the web in their families, it's still intact. There's such strength to be gleaned by indigenous people on this part of the world, but it's also important that we see that indigenous wisdom is in all people. So that's what I'm speaking to when I say that ancestral strength and blessing behind our grandparents, whatever part of the world our families come from, grew up in, immigrated from, the ancestral wisdom in the soul is in all of us. It's in all of our families. So coming into contact with that blessing and strength also deeply promotes us knowing where we belong. Sometimes a person, they're working so hard in their life, in their soul, they are trying to be all those ancestors. They're thinking, they don't realize it. They're living their lives thinking, I have to be those ancestors. Well, that promotes a guru complex too.
Even within family, right.
Maybe then I put myself, it's a way of me putting myself in a guru position. If I'm thinking I don't even know that I'm thinking it, but if I'm thinking, I'm supposed to be the ancestral wisdom. Well, we don't realize it till we maybe have a conversation like this and it's like a little glass of cold water slapping on the face. It's like, I didn't know I was doing that. I can't be all those ancestors. Yeah. You know, I'm their descendant. They're not my descendant. You know.
I just feel this really intense energy in my solar plexus areas, like, you know, because I'm thinking. One of the things that I want to point out for those who are listening is you're talking about looking at this conversation from the soul's perspective, not an intellectual one. Not just the not the intellect, not the rational mind.
Right.
I think it's a good time to take a break. But I want, you know, because you've said a lot. The whole thing is, I don't want anything to do with my family. I hear people say, some people say, well, you know, I have a great day as long, I have a great day as long as I don't have to deal with human beings. You know, there's stuff like that. You said earlier, I don't make your business, your lives, my business. But we're talking about from a soul level, because we, there are those of us who are seeking to correct the image of our family, or even sometimes take sides with the mother or with the father, or for the father not being there, the mother being irresponsible. And I mean, I'm listening to you and I'm just feeling like, oh, it's like we went down this treasure trove and it was like, oh my God, Lisa, I don't know if I want to go down here. It's too much to do with. You know, why did we start this? Like, whoa, wait a minute.
Yeah.
And
that's great.
This
yeah.
really is the freedom. Because I know for me, I mean, the intellect is necessary, but sometimes we start the process of remembrance from an intellectual perspective, but there must come a time when we drop down to the heart and start asking deeper questions. Because and the things that we hear, the things we subscribe to, or how we see ourselves. I was going to take a break. But anyway, there's a statement, when the student is ready, the teacher will appear. You know, that itself, and it's just like, what does that really mean? Yeah. Those are all the things that are popping up in me when you're talking. And I think when we come back, we'll pick up from wherever we pick up from.
Listen.
Yes, thank you, thank you. And you are listening to Ancestral Blueprints with Lisa Iverson, the author of Ancestral Blueprints, Revealing Invisible Truth in America's Soul. And not only that, we are revealing the invisible truth in your own soul. Are you one of those people that say, I don't want nothing to do with my family or my brother, my mother, my father? No, I'm doing fine without them. Well, be aware. That's all I got to say. Be aware. We are taking your questions. The number is 347-426-3346. Maybe you have an experience you want to share with us. 347-426-3346. Or you can post it on the like pages. If you can post it on the Life Conversations Radio fan page, or the Ask Life Coach Addy. But, you know, prefer you do Life Conversations Radio. But it really doesn't matter. We'll get to it. Let's take a break. Actually, you know what? Before we do the commercial break, I want to do something else, because I'm listening to Lisa and I'm just feeling like, ooh, I feel woozy. It is not easy being on this planet. It is simple, but it's not easy. So when you find yourself judging or being hard on yourself, consider maybe what you're dealing with, what you're growing through and going through, is deeper than you know. In beauty, may I walk. We're going to play a little bit of this and then take a break. This is Karen Drucker.
All day long, may I walk. Through the seasons, may I walk. May I walk. In peace, may I walk in peace. On this path, may I walk. Through my life, may I walk. In old age, may I walk in peace. May I walk.
Life Conversations Radio. Be the change you want to see.
Life Conversations, committed to assisting you move from where you are to where you want to be. Have courage, make that move.
Hello, this is motivational speaker Les Brown, and you're listening to Life Conversations. It's going to change your life.
It's not always easy to see what is coming at you, or better yet, for you. You need someone in your corner who can help you navigate those blind spots. Life Coach Today has a unique ability to guide you toward clarity with compassionate coaching and an amazing sense of humor. As a coach for over 15 years, Life Coach Today has been working closely with people and freeing them to live their best life. If you are in a spot where your best friend's advice or family members' tips are not working for you, you want to step onto the playing field of life with a coach who will walk with you and support you in tapping into the best in you. When you are done with Life Coach Today, you will be the change you want to see. We'll give you practical tools to finally embrace all of you and empower you to step into your greater yet to be. For a 45 minutes complimentary session, email LifeCoachToday at ask@lifecoachtoday.com. That's ask@lifecoachtoday.com or call 678-561-0607. That's 678-561-0607. Be still, listen, and be transformed.
What would happen if you didn't follow the established path? Would you feel scared or proud? Could you explain that helping the people of Peru improve their own community would also have an effect on your own? Would you rather make your own way or spend a lifetime saying, "What if?" Life is calling. How far will you go? Peace Corps. To find out more, call 1-800-424-8580 or go to peacecorps.gov.
Life Conversations Radio.
Giving a voice back to the community. 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 To the community.
Yes, indeed. We are helping you activate your throat chakra that you may express the truth of who you are, reclaim your power. You are listening to Ancestral Blueprints with Lisa Iverson, the author of Ancestral Blueprints, Revealing Invisible Truth in America's Soul. Lisa is also a psychotherapist and a facilitator of the Family Constellations. And today's theme, today's topic is the guru, your soul. From giving away to claiming authority. And today's conversation is helping you claim your authority, not over anybody else or over anything. Just really sink into the authorship that you already have. We still got the angels or the ancestors or the aliens. It's one of the A's or maybe all the A's behind Lisa's phone. But that's okay. We welcome them all. So, Lisa. Listeners, the song I played in Beauty May I Walk, that was Karen Drucker. And her website address is karendrucker.com. I got some thoughts, some questions that I want to throw at you, but is there anything that's coming up for you since we took the break that you want to share before I throw my questions at you?
There is a whole thread of thought that's with me to say, but I trust that you go ahead and ask me what you're going to ask, and it'll find its way into our last part of the conversation today. So you go ahead and ask what's with you.
Yeah, I want to go back because I definitely hear I hear a lot of people, "I don't want nothing to do with my family. I can't stand a family member, or humans get on my nerves, those kind of things. And of course, I think part of that is coming from a place of pain, really.
Yes.
But also there is a connection there. And you always remind us that's also coming from a place of deep love. Now,
yes.
How does one go about reclaiming where they belong while everything in their being or most part of them is saying, nope, I don't want to do with my mother or my father, my sisters, because they're crazy. I hear what you're saying about forgiveness and unconditional love and ancestral blueprints and all that. But my family, all of them, are crazy. Really, they might as well say I'm the only sane one. How do we go about reclaiming where we belong in that situation?
Yeah, great question. Because you're right, that feeling of, you know, I don't want anything to do with my family or a certain part of my family. It's absolutely a pain response to pain. The thing I would like to suggest is that if a person feels that way, that they consider that they are not the first one in their family to be inclined to take that position. So this is the thing that often gets lost. When a person is consumed with a kind of a pain that says, you know, I want to keep my family or parts of my family at arm's length, they can't see that they are likely in connection with somebody else earlier in the family who felt that same way. So that's not an original position. That's not an original response. So allowing that picture to unfold a bit, to see how my inclination to reject my family or to reject someone in my family may very well be this kind of a blind love in connection with somebody else who needed to do that same thing. That's the thing that I would invite allow an openness to consider.
Right.
Because then what we see is the paradox is that in the inclination to reject, to get away from, actually underneath it, there's a deep connection happening. I'm deeply connected with whoever else it was who had that same feeling. Now, it can be a real struggle for the mind. It can be a real struggle, you know?
Yes.
Because,
yes.
You know, the mind and the ego, our defenses want to say, I'm nothing like you. Mm-hmm. The mind and the ego wants to say, to the ones we're rejecting, I reject you because I'm so different.
Mm-hmm.
I reject you because I'm nothing like you. And so it's a real process to have compassion for, to have a kindness toward oneself, toward the whole family, to have an openness to see this kind of a thing that I'm suggesting, you know.
Yeah. So...
Yeah.
Because what you're saying, it's like the person has to be willing, really, to see something different. They have to be willing to just see something different. And it doesn't mean when you see something different, more than likely, when you see something different, it's going to change you. You still have a choice. But what about situations where people are it's like they may be, you know, somebody may be listening to this conversation, and I may just assume that everybody's like, okay, willing to go down that path. But there might be some people saying, yep, I heard what you said, Lisa, but I'm just not doing it. So they're resistant. They don't want to hear it. And if we are in relationship to people like that, You know, be it at work, be it a neighbor, be it a friend, be it somebody we see regularly, and we are aware of this information, like we listen to this, but we know people are like that and they're not open. How can we be of service without trying to be the guru in the context of this conversation?
Yeah, it's very tricky. I think the thing to do is to really look at my own motivation. Why am I so interested in being of service to this person? Because there may be something in that position where the person who is in resistance, the way you're describing, reminds us of somebody in our family. So that person who's in resistance may be a little bit of an ambassador to our own family soul, that we then have the opportunity to allow the space in us to accept the ones in our families, our parents, our siblings, our grandparents, our partners, our children, who are in resistance to this clarity, that we allow them this, what belongs to them. I'm powerless over other people's relationship with who and where they come from, and it's not my business.
Yes.
So it brings the question. You know, it brings a real deep question. You know, this is part of this time we're living in. You know, we are deeply connected. We are deeply affected by one another. And in that clarity, how do I also know what's my business and what's not my business?
Mm-hmm.
How does all that go together in the same picture?
Yes.
This is the question, yes. This is the pulse, that's the touch point, that it's a very alive pulse in our human experience. I'm affected by other people. I affect other people. We are not these separate, as individual, again, as the American story wants to pitch, you know, we see this larger global picture, oneness, oriented kind of theology, spirituality, energy. It's true how deeply connected and affected we are by one another. Then how do I know what's my business and what's not my business? That can't be all addressed in a few minutes, but there's a usefulness in just articulating that and seeing how is that operating in my life? How do I live with it now? When do I know if I am getting caught up in somebody else's story that, you know, somehow that's blocking me from being clear in my place of belonging and power and authority? You know, back to this guru thing, if I'm all wrapped up in somebody else's power trip, then that takes me off the hook of coming into my own place as an adult son, as an adult daughter. Sometimes that's a whole piece of dynamic that's going into this guru thing, particularly even more so with women. The standard picture with throughout history is that the guru is a man and that the students of the guru are women. And there is in that picture an unconscious energy set that says that women stay girls. Mm. Now, I'm interested in a consciousness that promotes clarity in family life, that supports us in our human family, that compassionately allows all of us, if we are adults, to in fact move into adulthood, where we function as adult men and adult women, that we don't look to other adults to be our parents, whether that's in a guru relationship or in a workplace. You know, it happens in the workplace all the time, where employees are looking to their bosses to be their parents. It happens in marriage all the time, husbands and wives,
yes,
partners look to the other one to be their parent. So again, this family belonging thing, the influence that it has, how we recreate unprocessed, unseen images from the family soul in all aspects of our life, it's very big. We are truly all in it together. Absolutely.
Hmm. As I dance and feel our conversation, I can see how this ancient wisdom, this indigenous wisdom, actually helps us or acts as a catalyst for us to be fully present.
Yes.
Other than the other way, the intellectual way, saying, no, it's all about me, I just need to take care of myself. I mean, and from there, sometimes we use achievement and success as a way of numbing ourselves from this kind of wisdom, because this kind of wisdom slows us down. People say, I want to slow down, I want to be still. But if you're listening to the mind, if how you live your life is based on just rational mind, then you're constantly going to create things to keep your emotion. But this conversation, for me, I find that brings you back. So when you talked about if someone is saying, I don't want nothing to do with my family members, and then I may say, oh, let me deal with that. What part of me, what am I avoiding? You know, why do I feel I'm the one that's supposed to correct them? And when am I supposed to say something or not? When am I moved to say something or not? That really slows the mind down to be really present. And the world that we've created so far doesn't always allow for this way of thinking, being, to kind of just slow down. There's something, you know, be still. And know that I am God. Be still. We struggle with silence. We struggle with being still. And because when we become still, we connect with so much more. But we're trying to get so many things done, and then we'll be still. It's really, I don't know. I just feel really slowed down. I feel slowed down. It's like, And as we talk, I really have a deep reverence for life and for people, for humanity,
mm-hmm.
because I'm really getting in touch on a deeper level that we just need to honor ourselves wherever we are. Those who already have a guru and can't get themselves out, those who want nothing to do with the family members or their complete family, those who have figured it out, it's just to have a deep reverence for each other. It's like, wow. You know, it's this is no joke, and it is, because what you see is like, wow, really? And you know, time is doing what time does; it keeps moving. How do those who are already wrapped up in the guru student relationship, how, and something in them is saying, this is not the way it's supposed to be? Or they know they're giving it their power, or every time they say, I'm not going to do this anymore, I'm not going to do this anymore, but the minute they go to the center or wherever, meet up, or hear the guru's voice, it's like, they just give it all up again.
Mm-hmm.
How would someone like that start to reclaim, to use that word again, reclaim their own place and their own authority? What are simple things that you would suggest?
Great question. It can be useful to do a little bit of reality checking with somebody or a variety of people who are outside of that particular community. just to get a little bit of perspective, because depending on how entranced the group is, so it partly depends on that. You know, how entranced is the group with the guru teacher? That's why so it can be useful to check things out with other people who are in the group, but also be prepared for possible reinforcement of the guru energy. Mm-hmm. So reality checking a little bit with some people who are outside of it can be useful. I'm a pretty big fan of wisdom in the body. So, you know, listening to what one's body experiences. Most of the time in a setting like this, there is a fair bit of disassociation, disconnection with embodied wisdom. You know, people are in a setting like this and they're by necessity for the trance to be there, there's some kind of a disconnection from body wisdom that happens. Asking simple questions of oneself, like simple questions like, what is it that the person is wanting to get out of the experience or the relationship, the setting? Like coming back to a little bit of a beginner's mind of, you know, why am I there in the first place? What attracted me there? As a way, and then checking that, you know, how does that compare with my experience in family life? Am I somehow, you know, asking some what might be hard questions of oneself? Am I looking to this setting to be a replacement for family? Am I looking to the teacher to be a replacement father, a replacement mother? You know, so asking some what might be difficult questions are I think useful.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
I kind of see that for me. I feel like this conversation we're having is. It's for people who want to be awake and alert. And I don't say that in a sort of better than position, that somebody who, those who are ready to wake up, they're better than those who are sleeping, because there's an entanglement in how we've created society and how we're living it out. And there's some people in the confusion of the student-guru relationship. There's some people who've worked it out, and it works very well. And clearly what we're saying is we're not saying you don't need a guru, but just understand that everyone is a student and a teacher. I mean, I always say when the student is ready, the teacher will appear, and that me as a student, I am the teacher, and I would attract somebody to reflect to me what I already know. So I am the teacher, I am the student. But it's a tricky thing in a society where we think the teacher knows best. You know, the teacher knows
right.
better. The teachers know
right.
more. So if you're the student and they're the teacher, then we're less than. And it's so part of the shifting the balance, the equation is really elevating student as well. Because really without the student, there's no teacher.
That's
and
right.
the role of a teacher is useless if there are no students. So the teacher, when the teacher is ready, the students will appear too. So
mm-hmm.
without the students, the teacher is useless.
Mm-hmm.
So it's just like bringing the balance to teacher-student relationship and not seeing one better than the other. We literally
mm-hmm.
all need each other, you know.
Mm-hmm. That's right.
Mm-hmm.
That's right. Yeah, we're making a distinction between teacher and guru. You know?
Yeah.
The pedestal phenomena, this kind of a thing.
Yes.
And
yes.
taking It's taking really seriously, again, how deeply our first need when we come into the world is, again, it's belonging.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, if, chances are if I have a feeling of disrupted feeling of belonging in the family I come from, if I'm feeling like I don't belong in some way in my family, I'm going to be a little bit vulnerable. I'm going to be looking for some group to belong to. I'm going to be looking for somebody to belong to.
Mm. Yes.
You know, taking really seriously our own vulnerabilities, looking at what those are, not being in blind trance about them, having compassion for them is very important, you know. And I also trust, you know, the mystery that's operating all the time.
Yes.
Some people need to have this experience of worshiping somebody else and giving their power away to another person. If this is what a person needs to do in their life, then that's what they need to do.
That's right. That's right.
Yeah.
Because there's so many, even with that, then you can go many places with that. It's like, that's just the way it is. But, you know, I think there's also something that comes with awareness when you kind of realize, you know, in my soul, this is what I need to do. I just know it. I don't know why. Or I did a reading. I did a past life regression. I understand. But with awareness, we can live our best lives. And awareness is about waking up. And when you're aware, you're going to know more, see more, feel more. I love what you said, Lisa, about taking seriously our vulnerabilities and having compassion for them. Especially in a world where we sometimes don't want to show our vulnerabilities. We're afraid of our vulnerabilities. It's like people apologize when they're crying. They're talking about their family member, their child, their son, the daughter who was murdered or something, or somebody died, and they start crying. They apologize like they're doing something wrong. You know, but when we take our vulnerability seriously, then we can have compassion for ourselves.
That's right. And there's, you know, in all parts of life, there are what things look like. There's the appearance of something. And then there's often the deeper truth that's operating that's underneath it. You know, our American culture particularly, you know, there's a lot of energy that goes into appearance. There's a lot of energy that goes into making things look a certain way. Well, being able to really be awake to both sides of the coin, the one side of the coin that is, do I feel like I'm being manipulated in some way, even in a subtle way? Do I feel a little bit manipulated? If there is that feeling, it's there for a reason.
Mm-hmm.
The flip side of that is, am I trying to manipulate somebody else into seeing me in a particular way? Am I trying to manipulate others' perceptions of me for my own benefit, for my own gain? Again, that's also to be in contact with whatever elevated position I was in my family. I was in too big of a position as a son or a daughter, and I'm still caught up in that trance, and so I need to be able to sometimes even a subtle way, beyond my own awareness, manipulate others into perceiving me in whatever way. Those questions are not for sissies.
No, they're not.
These are, you know, some of the more challenging things for us to choose. It's up to each person to choose to explore those for themselves. For me, I'm interested in those questions, particularly during this time we live in, particularly for me when I think about what kind of a world do we want to pass on to our children and grandchildren.
Yes.
Because for me, part of this time we're living in, it's really clear that anything less than being in clear, compassionate alignment with grounded truth is in disservice to the future generations. So those are my, I guess, thoughts to close with today. I'm so grateful for you, the work that you do, and for Celeste and the work she does, and this forum to be with this kind of a conversation.
Thank you for that, because one of the things I was going to ask you to leave us with a thought, and you did it without me asking. Well, you did with me asking. So thank you for listening. Lisa, thank you. Thank you for the show. I am enriched by it. And I am grateful. I'm grateful for what we get to do together, the space that we create together. And I look forward to our next conversation, be it on the phone or on the next show.
Thank you,
Lisa.
You're welcome, and thank you.
Yes, indeed. Check out Lisa's website. It's lisaiverson.com. Lisa, L-I-S-A, Iverson, I-V-E-R-S-E-N.com. Find out more about her work, and maybe she woke up something in you that you need help, support with, or familyconstellationswest.com. Don't forget to join Ambassador tomorrow, 12 p.m., not 12 p.m., tomorrow at what time again? 7 p.m. Eastern for the play experience. Within radio on Friday, 8 p.m. for the syndication of a radio show, and Sunday, 8 p.m. Eastern with Celeste Morgan for the Celestial Show. And next week, I am taking a break. Woohoo! Excitement. I love you. I bless you. I appreciate you. And I thank God for you. Yes, be loved. Love yourself. Tell yourself the truth and allow yourself to be loved. This is India Ari. Gifts of Acceptance. Her website address is soulbird.com. soulbird.com. I love you. I'm out, I'm in, and I'll see you in 2 weeks' time. Peace and blessings.
Seeds of life, we want peace, love, and prosperity. But can we give up our need to be right? Give the world a present gift, a gift of your acceptance. Give the world a present gift, the gift of your acceptance. Some believe that God's a him and some say he's a her. Does God live here in our hearts or out in the universe? Gandhi was a Hindu, Martin Luther King, a Christian. Regardless of religion, they knew love was the mission. They call you Israeli and they call me an American. I look at you and I don't see a country, I just see my friend. I pray we're in each other's lives for a long, long time. Did I honor your choices and you are mine? We are one. Gift of your acceptance.
Life Conversations Radio. B
Be the change you want to see.
Hi, I'm Mark Victor Hansen. I want you to be listening to Life Conversations. My friends are running it, and they do the best hosting in the planet. Enjoy the show.
Life Conversations. We dare you to live your best life.